Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th Canto, Chapter 2, and titled The Symptoms of Kali Yuga, text number 6.
Dure Varyanam Titam. Dure Varyayanam Tirtam. Lavanyam Kesadaranam. Udaram Bharata Svarta. Satyatve Darschame Vahe. Dure.
Situated far away.
Vari.
Of. Vari of water.
Ayanam.
A reservoir.
Tirtam.
A holy place.
Lavanyam.
Beauty.
Kesa.
Hair.
Dharanam.
Carrying.
Udaram Bharata.
Filling the belly.
Swartha.
The goal of life.
Satyatve.
In so-called truth.
Darshan.
Audacity.
Eva.
Simply.
He.
Indeed.
Daksyam.
Expertise.
Kutumbabaranam.
Maintaining a family.
Yasaha.
Fame.
Arte.
For the sake of.
Dharmasevanam.
Observance of religious principles. Translation: a sacred place will be taken to consist of no more than a reservoir of water located at a distance, and beauty will be thought to depend on one's hairstyle. Filling the belly will become the goal of life, and one who is audacious will be accepted as truthful. He who can maintain a family will be regarded as an expert man, and the principles of religion will be observed only for the sake of reputation. Purport: in India, there are many sacred places through which holy rivers flow. Foolish persons eagerly seek redemptions from their sins by bathing in these rivers, but do not take instructions from learned devotees of the Lord who reside in such places. One should go to a holy place seeking spiritual enlightenment and not just for ritualistic bathing. In this age, people tirelessly arrange their hair in different styles, trying to enhance their facial beauty and sexuality. They do not know that actual beauty comes from within the heart, from the soul, and that only a person who is pure is truly attractive. As the difficulties of this age increase, filling one's belly will be the mark of success, and one who can maintain his own family will be considered brilliant in economic affairs. Religion will be practiced, if at all, only for the sake of reputation and without any essential understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnanandana Salakaya Shakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Sigurve Namaha Sri Chaitana Mano Vistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Langam Panga Ite Girin Yad Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Shri Chaitanya Miswaram Paramananda Madhavam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasani Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. A sacred place will be taken to consist of no more than a wet reservoir of water located at a distance. Sacred places have a purpose to bring us to the spiritual paths. It is there where saintly persons assemble. It is there where knowledge is kept. Just like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went on his pilgrimage of South India. And when he went around South India, he came to various temples. First, on the way, he found a Brahmana. And this Brahmana was a devotee of Ram. And the Brahmana was supposed to cook for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and invited him for lunch. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to take his bath, came back for lunch. There was no lunch. So he said, oh. And he noted that the Brahmana hadn't even started cooking. He said, like, so, you know, what about lunch? Are we going to cook today? He said, well, we cannot start yet because Ram and Lakshman have gone to the forest to collect the ingredients. And only when they come back, Sita will start the cooking. Okay, so he was meditating in this mood of Ramachandra in the forest, and Lord Chaitanya liked it. Then, very quickly, the Brahmana started to make arrangements for cooking. Then later, that Brahmana became so depressed, and he said, how is it possible? I cannot live with this thought that this demon Ravana touched the sacred mother Sita. And then Lord Chaitanya explained, no, that never happened. Because actually, when Ravana came, then Sita took shelter of the fire. She entered into the fire and Agni gave her protection. And what remained was a form of Maya Sita, an illusory Sita. And that Maya Sita was kidnapped by Ravana. Later, that Maya Sita was staying in Lanka, and when she was being delivered after the war, she was free again. Then Ramachandra said, now you can go. He had conquered his wife, freed her from all the oppressive kidnappers and so on. And then he says, so now you are free to go, because you have stayed in the house of another man overnight. So then I cannot accept you. But then he said, no, I will prove that my chastity is intact by entering into the fire. And again, she entered into the fire. And if I come out unharmed of the fire, then no, my chastity will be intact. So she just went into the fire, and then the forms got exchanged. Then she took again her original form. So then she stepped out of the fire in her original form. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disclosed this story to the Brahmana. And he was a little pacified, but he was not fully convinced. Not deeply in his heart. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew that. So his grief was still continuing. But then later, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to a temple in the south. And there he found a manuscript from the Kurma Purana where exactly this particular point was being described in detail. So he arranged that he could get the original palm leaves, and some Brahmana made copies, and the copy stayed in the temple, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the original palm leaves, gave that to that Brahmana to show this is really there in the original Kurma Purana. So we see that places of pilgrimage, like temples, they were not only places for getting some asirvad and quickly run in and, you know, get the darshan and done. No, they were places where scriptures were being kept. The temples had libraries, and that's where brahmanas could come and copy these scriptures. So they were repositories of knowledge and mercy. There were devotees there who were able to, who were very exalted. Later, Lord Chaitanya traveled further, and then he came to the Adikeshava Mandir. And in the Adikeshava Mandir, some devotees were discussing some amazing information. They were discussing principles of tattva, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was totally ecstatic, and it turned out to be the Brahma Samhita. So as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard the Brahma Samhita, he was jumping in ecstasy and dancing. He was totally overwhelmed by this wonderful literature. And the brahmanas there were very exalted and learned, and they were discussing this knowledge of the Brahma Samhita. So there were saintly persons in that temple who understood the conclusions of the scriptures and who lived by it and who were exalted devotees. So this is what we are looking for. And of course, Srila Prabhupada established this culture of hearing. And he himself, once Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur came to Vrindavan. And this is before Prabhupada was initiated. It took 11 years between the first meeting and before Prabhupada was finally initiated. So during those 11 years, Prabhupada met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur again in Vrindavan. And at that time, there was a lecture scheduled of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, and there were also a group of devotees. They were going to go on a parikrama to see the deity of Sesha Sai, who, you know, it was a rare opportunity because it's a little far across the Yamuna. It's not like so easy to go there. And so many went, but Abai never went. Abai stayed to hear Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And it was for that that he particularly noted, oh, he likes to hear. And later he said that. Later someone tried to introduce, here's this nice man who helps us so much, Abai Charan Dev. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, I noted him. He likes to hear. So everyone said, oh, he's already noted him. That was something. So it was like that. That one who likes to hear from saintly persons is very fortunate. Just like in the Gita Mahatmya, it is said that one may bathe in the Ganga and get purified. But only after prolonged bathing in the Ganga can one become purified from sinful reactions. Whereas one is hearing the message of the Gita, one is very quickly becoming purified. Therefore, it is important that we hear transcendental instruction from saintly personalities. Not that we hear from personalities who are not pure. Sapuchistam nakartavyam. It is said that persons who are like mundane and who are discussing Krishna Katha, that is like milk touched by the lips of a serpent, and one should not hear that. So that's also there. Prabhupada many times spoke out against the professional reciters, particularly professional reciters who had no intention to give their lives to Krishna. Giving one's life to Krishna means that one must act according to Krishna's desire. And Krishna's desire is very clear. He's made it, for example, he says, yagyasi satinu santo muchante sarvakil visai. If you don't eat remnants of foodstuffs offered to me in sacrifice, you'll eat only sin. And then in the next, and therefore, patram pusvam phalantoyam yome bhakti payasati. Therefore, offer me a flower, a leaf, a fruit, some water. Okay, so that we can take. On one occasion, Prabhupada said yes. If Krishna would have said, offer me an animal, right? Then we would have offered all the animals in the universe. His eyes became big and round. But Krishna didn't say, so Prabhupada didn't do. So in this way, one has to conform himself, one has to change his life. That is required, that we simply say, okay, Krishna, I will adjust my life according to your wish. And that is a big process. And somehow or other, we have to all come to that stage. We have, of course, our natures, we have our desires, we have so many qualities, and that's there, and that's not going to go. But we have to do it. We have to become active, we have to become alert, so many things we just don't know. There's so much to learn. Because in Krishna consciousness, we go really into the detail. Everything has to be done proper. It begins with big things, but then smaller things, and it has to be done proper. Like sit properly, eat properly, talk properly. One can recognize a saintly person, how he sits, how he walks, how he speaks, and so on. So many injunctions in Krishna consciousness. So many. Alright, we begin with major ones, but we must refine it. We must gradually refine, just like the initiations are doing that to us. The first initiation means connect. First initiation means establish our sambandha with Krishna. Sambandha means, alright, I belong to Krishna. That's what's going on in the first initiation. But in the second initiation, we must start to behave more and more according to the directions of the scripture. It is said that the Gayatri mantra is standing on four legs, which is quite interesting. And one leg is the earth, another leg is mind, another one is the body and the words. So one must, in all these territories, make sure that the principle of Gayatri mantra is recognized. Gayatri mantra means that we remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead and that we are His eternal servant, basically. And also about, there's something about the quality of our service in the Gayatri mantra. So we make a connection and we increase the quality of our service. And that has to and that is resting on four legs, the earth. On the earth means in the practical environment. That means that our practical environment has to become touched by those principles. So everything that we relate to, the place where we stay, the things that we use, they must all fit in the context of the message of the Gayatri. That's what it means. One leg resting on the earth. And then the body. So we make a whole arrangement like that in our physical environment. The room where we stay has to be a sacred place. The way the things we use to eat, you know, it should be pure. Therefore, we see that sadhus traditionally they would use their own lota and whatever, their own tiffin, and wash it themselves with clay and so on, because it would have to be pure. There are different types of plates in terms of purity. It is said, like, if you eat of a clay plate or a porcelain plate, that is fine, but after eating you have to throw it away. So, you know, there's no dishwashing, no way of washing any dishes when you are serving from porcelain plates, right? Those we just throw away. I said, yeah, but that's porcelain. Doesn't matter. It's permanently contaminated. Therefore, you cannot actually eat again and again of porcelain plates. Of course, what do? In the modern world, you just say hallelujah and keep on eating. But what to do? But just, we should know at least, right? We should not just keep on eating without knowing. We should know that. Therefore, metal plates are better. Then they use stainless steel or better bell metal, it's a higher level, or better a silver plate. So it's like Bhavananda used to have a silver plate. We used to keep, and you know, deities often sometimes a silver plate, and we serve silver plates. But supposedly still more pure than a silver plate is a marble plate. And I say it's a marble plate with marble cups and everything. So that's even a higher standard of purity. But more pure than that, is a leaf, actually. A leaf from the tree. And then it's like lotus leaf or banana leaf. That's the best. That's like first class. That's culture. That's the most cultured. Either that or golden plate. So you can choose. Either eat from banana leaf or golden plate. But even golden plate, it's just best is to throw it away and have a new one every time. So, like this, in Vedic times, you see at the time of Lord Chaitanya, there's a pastime where Lord Chaitanya was sitting on the cooking pots. Because he was protesting, he was a boy, and his father had, they had just lost their eldest son, Vishwarup, who had taken sannyas. And they were afraid that Nimai might go the same direction if he was getting too interested in the scripture. So therefore they decided, let's just keep him uneducated, then he may not take to spiritual life. So then Nimai was protesting, and he was sitting on the cooking pots, because they were cooking in clay pots, and they would never use them only one time and throw them outside. That was it. Every time, cook in a new clay pot. That was the culture. Always cook in a fresh clay pot. So that's quite a different culture than what we've got. And Nimai was sitting on these clay pots, and mother all upset, how can you sit on these contaminated pots? He said, how am I supposed to know? I'm uneducated. I don't know what is contaminated, what is not contaminated. So they got the message, okay, he wants to continue his education. So then they sent him back to school. Well, in this way, we're seeing that only a few hundred years ago, that culture was completely alive and in place, and even later than that. And now it's all forgotten. And now it's just plastic plates and this and that, which is, plastic plates are already contaminated. Plastic plates is worse than paper plates. Plastic plates are already contaminated before you start eating. See, that's like the plastic mixes with what you eat. So you eat a few plastic elements at the same time. Yeah. So these things are going on in this age where ignorance is predominant. And you know, since I take the example of eating now, I guess I'll stay on the topic for a little while. Imagine we would get ready for dinner and the table is all decked out and ready to go, and we put some things on the table. So, you know, in the West they put some salt and pepper, in India maybe some achar and, you know, a few additional things like that, some chili sauce or something like that on the table. But we're going to put next to it one more thing. A spray can with doom. Doom. Yeah, anti-cockroach pesticide. Right on the table. Right there, next to the salt and the pepper. And then, you know, as you got all your preps on the plate, we just go, spray a bit on, and then eat it. Yeah? Who would eat it? But we don't worry. There is no spray can on the table. Because they have already pre-sprayed the food. So it's not necessary that we do it ourselves. It's already done for us. So don't need to put a spray can on the table. Because they've already sprayed it before. That's only one thing. The other thing that is fun is the genetic engineering. That's also really good. One genetic engineer explained to me that for tomatoes, to keep them good, you add scorpion genes. For the big potatoes, to keep them from going bad, pig genes. So like that, you know, very tasty. And it wouldn't surprise me if in due course of time people who regularly eat such potatoes start to get round noses, and then one day a little itch at the lower back and this tiny little curl comes out. Those days, that could happen if you think about it. Right? So these are kind of symptoms of insanity. So Kali Yuga is an age where people shoot themselves in the foot, literally. I mean, they are hurting themselves. Who in the world would spray poison over his food? Who in the world would put poison gas in the air that you have to breathe? Who would throw poison in the rivers that are supposed to bring us life? So that is really funny. How covered over one can become. And how in the age of Kali we are simply finding justifications. You know. Yes, of course, we know there's poison on the food, but what can you do? What can you do? There's no alternative. There's just no alternative. Because otherwise the insects will eat everything. Then we'll have no food. And we believe it. We tell ourselves we have to do this. Although for how many thousands and thousands and thousands of years were people eating fine without it? But we tell ourselves, no, if we don't do that, then we'll have big problems. You see? So this is how it works. Ignorance. Ignorance is where we are misusing our intelligence. It is said, let me think of the verse one moment. Tadvakti sarko janatakavit plavo yasmin pratislokam abadavati api namanyanam tasya yasu kitani yet Shimanti Grinanti Gayanti Sadava. It says that this Sankirtan movement based on on the glorification of Krishna, such as in literature such as Srimad Bhagavatam, will bring about a revolution in the misguided, misdirected civilization. So this is what we have, a misguided, misdirected civilization. So misdirected intelligence is what we're having. It's not that we don't have intelligence, but we use it in the wrong direction. And that is the problem. Prabhupada speaks about a busy fool and... No, he speaks about busy intelligence and lazy intelligence. And he says lazy intelligence is better than busy intelligence. Or that one can get something done without doing so much work for it is better intelligence. So then he speaks about the busy rascal and the lazy rascal. And he says a busy rascal is worse than a lazy rascal. Like the monkey, Prabhupada said. He's a busy rascal. He's always doing some nonsense. Right? Your cloth is hanging on the washing line and the monkey comes. In India, you know, like every house, or not every year, but most houses have their own water pump and a tank on the roof. And sometimes in the hot season you see how the monkeys manage to open the temple, the tank and the lid of the tank, right? And they go swimming in the tank. Right? And that we can forgive them because it is hot season after all. So that's intelligent. But then the next thing they have to do is pastoor. They go pastoor in the water. See, that's busy rascal. Busy rascal. Yes. I like this. Monkeys. Monkeys, there are some flowers with a little honey on the trees. And, you know, monkeys, they take some to eat. But that will not be all, right? Monkeys have to shake the tree and make sure all the flowers fall out of the tree. Yeah? I tell you, I know all about monkeys. I watched them for years in Vrindavan. And they are busy rascals. Like this. They enjoy being rascals. That's what monkey body is for. That birth is particularly taken for just being a rascal. They make faces also. There was one monkey in Vrindavan, it was too much, but he would go sit in front of you and eat out of his backside. He was doing all the time. We knew him. So monkeys do these things. Provoking other people. But that is also quite common now amongst human beings, provoking others. People piercing and things like this, provoking others, shocking others. So busy rascal. So we have to see that there are people who are manda sumanda matayo, they've become lazy. They are not doing much. They're just too lazy to lift a finger. And then there are people who are actively destroying the world. They're worse. Who are actively making a demoniac environment. They are the busy rascals. They are the worst. And we are trying to activate the lazy ones in doing some devotional service. And we're trying to stop the busy rascals and defeat them and stop their nonsense. That is our business. You cannot just let it all go on. Still, in one of the first Back to Godheads, there was on the front page a picture of a butcher who was attacking a cow with an axe. And Prabhupada said, "What is this?" And said, well, it's an article against meat eating. And Prabhupada said, we are not against. We're not against anything. We are for Krishna. So it's not our business to be against this, against that. No, it is our business to be for Krishna. And for Krishna means no meat, because Krishna doesn't accept meat. But we're not singling out so many things. We are against this, against that, against... No, Prabhupada said, we are for Krishna. And then we just... Our standard is simply the desire of Krishna. Whatever Krishna desires. And that is Bhagavad Gita, where he makes his desires clear. So... So also in dealing with Kali Yuga, we cannot just spend all our time saying how horrible people are, how degraded people are, how corrupted people are, and so on. That would take us away from Krishna. If we talk the whole day about how bad Kali Yuga is, how much will we talk about how wonderful Krishna is? So then in that way, you become what you deal with. That's very dangerous. If you, in this world, you become, you know, if you deal with politicians, you have to become a politician. Yeah. It's like that in the world. It goes like that. And therefore, we should simply focus on our own business. And that is the strength of our movement. We are simply going to glorify Krishna everywhere and always, at home and outdoors. No difference. No difference. It's not that there's a big university engagement and this is very difficult because we have to impress the educated public, and what are we going to say to them? And therefore, there is someone who is regularly familiar with the university preaching, and he has written like a paper of like 7 points that must be covered in the lecture, right? So that it's strategically aimed and directed at the people in the university and all that. So yeah, maybe, you know, if you have a very inexperienced speaker, maybe what can you do? Then you have to go for second best. But the best is simply glorify Krishna. That's what Prabhupada did. He didn't care about such things, you know, where he was or who the audience was. He would just glorify Krishna. And as it came, and that is the essence, because purity is the force and not intellectualism. If we intellectually try to cater to the audience, Prabhupada said that in our preaching we're not trying to please the audience, we're trying to please Krishna. And that's the important point. We are faithful to pleasing Krishna. We're not trying to present ourselves in such a way that the audience will be so pleased. No, if we are in our speech, are trying to please Krishna, then automatically people will be attracted, because the purity will be there. That's it, that's the guarantee. So simply please Krishna. And the more we are getting faithful to Krishna, therefore it's important to absorb the words of Krishna. Just absorb and keep very close to them. You can see that Prabhupada in his preaching is very chaste, that he is using so many examples directly from the scripture. Directly. He uses metaphors, very much scriptural. Because we can understand that Prabhupada throughout his life must have been in close contact with the scripture. Considering that he took sannyas relatively late, it's not that he started learning the scripture at that time and read it for the first time really. No, he must have studied it earlier when the mind was more fresh and when he could remember. Because at old age, memory goes. Unless one has over a prolonged period of time absorbed the knowledge. So our business is Bhagavad Gita every day. Every day. And if you missed yesterday, then you have to do double today. Every day. Every day some connection. Because sometimes it's really impossible. Yeah. Sometimes they may close the accounts at work and everyone has to work overtime or something else, whatever comes up. You're in a hospital and so many, and really some emergency cases. You know, that so there are maybe emergencies for which we may temporarily put aside our regular sadhana, and then we go back immediately back and keep that connection with the Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Because in that way we will be very conscious of what Krishna desires. And therefore it is said a Brahmana must be learned. Right? And they speak about illiterate Brahmana. Right? An illiterate Brahmana is like handicapped. Because how can one who is illiterate always act in a way that is favorable to Krishna? So in the same way, an illiterate devotee, a devotee who is just sort of, well, joined the Hare Krishna movement because of the halva, actually, and, you know, I like, what do you like about the Hare Krishna movement? Halva and Harinam, it's great. Okay, if you can really just be completely absorbed in these two, eat huge plates of halva and lots of Harinam, and then maybe you can Harinam all the way back to Godhead. But for our preaching and also for ourselves, it will help if we learn more about Krishna's likes and dislikes. Pravitim cha nivritim cha. What to do, what not to do. How to eat, how to sit, how to talk, how to sleep, how to deal with anything. How to do everything properly. And that is Brahman. Brahmanical initiation means do things properly. When Hanuman met Lord Ramachandra for the first time, Hanuman, he spoke to Lord Ramachandra. He introduced himself, and he introduced himself as by his name, I am Hanuman, I am the minister of Sugriva. And it said that as Hanuman spoke, he spoke on the fifth note. According to Sanskrit, there is a certain there are certain notes, and so it was not just the form of the words that counted, but even the tone had to be a certain, not too low. I am Hanuman.
I am Hanuman.
No, it had to be just the right tone. And he spoke in the right tone. I mean, it's amazing how far Vedic culture goes if you think about it. You know, it's like even that. And Hanuman spoke on the right note, the right words, and immediately they could understand, oh, he's very educated. He's very educated. Yeah. So our devotees also have to become educated. Educated in what are the standards, how to do things in such a way that it's pleasing to Krishna, how to do it right, and how to do things in such a way that they're favorable, just like eating. Yeah. You can You cannot start with the cheese sabji and then have the spinach. That's barbarian.
Why not? I always start with the cheese sabji.
No. One goes from bitter preps to greens, and then, okay, one goes towards the more rich vegetables. So there's a science. And if this science is followed, then one comes in the mode of goodness. And it is said that when one comes to the mode of goodness, then there will be blessings on the nine gates of the body. That means then one can become free from disease. Yeah. Okay, now I'm speaking theoretical. I know I'm not so convincing at the moment when I speak about being free from disease. But still, we can try like that. So it's not just if we simply say, yeah, I believe in Krishna consciousness, yes, that's, I'm convinced, that's good. But then there are still so many things that we have to learn, so many details, and that will help us to create a better way of life in the mode of goodness, where everything becomes touched by the mode of goodness, and even more, where everything becomes favorable for pure devotional service. And we just have to do it, and we just have so many habits, things that we shouldn't do, that are not good for pure devotional service, but we've done them for so long, so that we keep on doing. So we gradually have to change. And that's Vedic culture. Vedic culture is very intricate. Of course, sometimes it seems too narrow, like in Jaipur, which is one place in India where they have some standards. And in Jaipur, they had some standards, and so the people from Jaipur are very formal and they do things according to tradition. And then somehow or other, we had some Australian devotees who opened a temple there. Yeah. And while the local people were coming, yes, 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 for Sunday feast, the Australians would just say, "Ah, man, great to see you again." You know, slap them on the back and say, "Right, these people were coming and very Vedic, yes, yes." And that was like, and the funny thing was, the people of Jaipur, they liked it. They liked it. Said, "It's so warm, so personal, you know, instead of all this formality." So, you know, sometimes there is the other side of the coin. We don't want to kill our movement with formality, but at the same time, there are many things we can learn of how to do them in a better way. Questions or comments?
You think how talking about the strength of vegetables and everything, and then you were saying, well, we don't, so an argument would be we don't have those choice. What would be your solution to not eating the juice?
Well, we may not have much choice in this modern society in terms of not eating sprayed vegetables, because bio veggies are for rich people, practically, or grow your own type of thing. One day we'll have to start growing our own, I guess. It will come to that. I mean, when they start to mix in more and more genes, animal genes in me veggies, I don't know if I want to eat them still. Yeah. I mean, I would prefer things that are not genetically engineered myself. I don't know how you feel about that. Chemicals I don't like, but genetically engineered I like even less. When man plays God. I don't know. I'm kind of scared about it. Yeah. But anyway, so Krishna will protect us, I guess. Huh?
We'll start to grow more vegetables than the farm. We won't have properly
the farm. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's just how it is. That's what, you know, in ISKCON farms, the motivation is still not so strong. As I used to stay in Australia on this farm, 10,000 hectares. And then it was the biggest farm we ever had, right? And then we decided to grow melons as a cash crop. That was the decision of the management. So they're growing melons as a cash crop. Millions of melons. They had melons and melons and melons. And it's just like 24 kilometers of rows with melons. And we had to walk these 24 kilometers of rows and turn these melons by hand, otherwise they get white spots. No? God, melons. I still don't like melons. And then in 2 weeks, all of them became ripe. 1.5 million melons in 2 weeks, which we had to pick, clean, pack, lift, and so on. My God, you know. Melon fights. I can't understand.
It's still the same.
Yes.
It's still the same thing.
They don't have as many melons as New Gaudiya.
Yeah.
I'm talking New Gaudiya.
If you might bring it up,
Yeah. Now it's like, but we were cash cropping. Okay, but I'm only getting to the, I'm just warming up with this, right? And then in the end, you know? Okay, we were poor, so we couldn't afford even a forklift. Right? So we couldn't put the boxes on pallets. We had to lift box by box to load it in the truck. I mean, but chant Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. And we're lifting all these boats in a semi-trailer, packing box by box. It's not the way it's done in the world, excuse me. Anyway, we did it. And then, in the end, after all that work, we made $7,500 net profit. I was the treasurer, so I remember it very well. I kept the accounts in those days. $7,500 net profit. And you know what we did that year? Interesting enough, we bought $8,750 worth of vegetables that same year. So, you know, the figures, the accounts showed, if we would have just thrown out the melons, right, and grown our own veggies, we would be completely financially same story. So it proved that cash cropping wasn't the right thing to do. But if we would actually do it, grow our own, it's possible. Yes, sir. Any other? Otherwise, I'll let you go. Yes.
I don't know. We wanted to learn something about how to improve chanting.
So
I saw one of your books in Sydney. He sent me for how to improve chanting.
Yeah.
Volume 1.
Uh-huh.
So if you are taking any seminars or anything in chanting.
Not right away. At the moment. No seminars this visit. I'm sorry. This visit, I'm convalescing. Yeah. I'm in a sofa prayer. I chant on the sofa. So I can give a seminar about sofa chanting. I come by any time and we'll chat. Chatting and chanting also. We can talk about chatting and chanting, such things. I think Burajan will come and have a japa retreat soon. So save all your questions for that. Okay, yes.
Maharaj, can you say that all the mantras are expansion of Hare Krishna mantra?
All the mantras are extensions of the Hare Krishna mantra. Well, we can say that every word, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that every word in the Sanskrit language ultimately means Krishna. And he gave explanations. He was an expert scholar, so he was breaking down all the words and he proved how each word meant Krishna. So ultimately, every word means only Krishna. So Krishna is the original word, and all other words are coming from Krishna. Okay, enough is enough. Thank you. Shiva Prabhupada Ki Jai.